This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Happy Thursday. I'm Coach Jen from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Alice Perryman from Permela, Texas, and you are listening to an episode of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 18th, 2017, episode number 1700. Good morning, horse world.
And today's episode is brought to you by the NATRC, by the way. Woohoo! Good morning, horse world.
Yahoo! Yeah. Thank you.
Thursday. I'm so happy it's Thursday.
Just an ordinary day.
If you love to ride horses, but you'd rather ride on a trail than in an arena, I think I know a sport just for you.
We're out. We're getting to the first mark. We're a little ahead of time.
Expect nothing less than full-blown chaos.
You've been keeping busy, Alice? What you been up to since we talked to you last month?
Oh my gosh, keeping so busy. My stepson is getting married in 2 days.
Ah!
And tomorrow morning, we're having a rehearsal breakfast or brunch because everybody has graduations and stuff. And so trying to get everybody to the rehearsal dinner and then the graduation parties. And so we had to make rehearsal breakfast,
wow.
The rehearsal and then the morning. And then, so yeah, my sister-in-law and I have been planning a lovely breakfast menu with Belgian waffles and breakfast tacos. And wow. We've been rounding up cows. We've got baby cows everywhere at our house.
Now, are the baby cows everywhere on purpose?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
okay. Absolutely.
Okay. Just check it because, you know, sometimes baby
cows.
You know.
No, they're on purpose, baby cows. Yes. They. I think we had 37 cows to start with. We did lose one cow and calf, and we lost one other calf. But all the others are doing really well.
Now, which horse do you use to zhuzh around cows?
Well, I like to ride Liberty for stuff like that just because I know he'll go and stop and turn when I want him to.
Mm-hmm.
But my daughter's horse, Dixie, her national champion horse, is the best cow horse of the bunch. It's just that she's kind of a pony and she doesn't really like adults very much. And so you spend a few minutes. Oh, and the other horses really like her. So you take Dixie out and you end up with an entourage. So Sunday we were trying to get all the cows in the lot because we have one cow who lost her baby and another cow who forgot she had a baby.
Oops.
And we were trying to hook the two of them together to take care of things, which we did manage to do. Everybody's fine. But we tried to bring them all in and we got everybody in, using a mule, the engine kind of mule. I think it was one of those John Deere little buggy things.
Yes.
And a four wheeler, a tiny child size four wheeler and a horse. It took all four of us to get all the cows in. So we get them all in. Michael's counting the cows and the one cow that he wanted the most because he was going to take it to the sale was not there.
Of course not.
And so we went out looking for this one cow and she's 15 years old. She's super smart. She's one of his mom's original cows. And, her name is Ruffles. Because she's got a real loose, ruffly neck. And so we go looking for Ruffles. We find her. She's like hiding in a thicket. And we chased her for over an hour from thicket to thicket. Well, Liberty about lost his mind because she'd come bounding out of a thicket at him and he didn't hold the line. He's like, oh, crap, no. So I ran back to the house and grabbed Dixie and quickly changed tacks and got on Dixie. So Dixie and other Dixie, Mike's horse Dixie, and my old gelding and the yearling were all chasing this cow because I took Dixie, so her entourage had to come with her.
Oh my gosh. She's got peeps. Dixie has peeps. That's
oh my
gosh.
Dixie has peeps. Yeah, she's got her paparazzi. So taking Dixie, chasing down the cow, and she was on the back side of the dam. And so I crept around the side of the dam, got there, and that cow had run down the steepest part of the dam and was no longer on the dam. And so I ran down the steepest side of the dam and she went into this little thicket and we had her cornered. It was like thicket, open field, and a fence. She jumped the fence to go into the neighbor's yard, neighbor's pasture, because she was not coming in. So we left her alone. She came back today, just today, or first thing this morning, bright and early. Michael was out there with his dart gun, and he finally got her started and took three different darts because she kept running them off and not getting a full dose of the drug. He finally got her down, and as we speak, he's waiting for her to wake up so that he can get her loaded on the trailer to take her to the sale.
She knew what was
so
coming.
Ruffles was leaving. Well, yeah, but his mom always told him that whenever one of the cows got too hard to handle, it was time for her to go.
Oh, she just can't. Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then we're taking another little steer, but you know, it's time to send the herd. But it was, I wish I were a great story writer, because there would be a good story here if I could tell that story. If I were my friend, Corey Key, who wrote The Horses Sweet Potatoes, great book. And she's working on her second book. If I were a great veterinary story writer, like my friend Corey, this story would be hilarious. But I'm not, unfortunately. I'm just not.
Well, you've been.
But it was pretty funny. Being there was funny.
So. Yeah. Now, have you been to any rides since we spoke last month on the third Thursday?
Yeah. Yes, I took. We went to a competition at Tarrant Ranch, which is in Bullard, Texas, and I actually took a different horse this time. I took Vandermeer the Third. He is a little Kilpin rescue that one of my friends found and rescued, thinking he was a Tennessee Walker. And, you know, he might be, but he doesn't gait. But his trot's super comfortable, and everyone's like, guess the breed. Well, he could be part Saddlebred. Well, he could be part Morgan. Well, he could be part Foxtrotter. Nobody knows. But he's a bright red color and solid, except for like a half moon star. Like a lot of Morgans are. And he's that bright red color that a lot of the Funquest Eric babies are. But he looks kind of like a small Saddlebred in the way his neck comes out of his chest is a little high. He really looks like a small Tennessee Walker, but there's no gait that I can find. Unless I'm just not riding him right, which is entirely possible. But his trot, he goes 8 miles an hour before you feel like you really need to post. So who cares?
Yeah.
Joe Bob had a sunburn on his nose, and I couldn't put his bridle on his face because his lips were sunburned and his nose was sunburned. And I also think that I overfaced him a little bit. Joe Bob is a really sweet, fun horse. Like, you can go outside and call him. If he hears you on 350 acres, he will come running. Doesn't matter what you have for him, what you're going to do with him, whether you feed him a treat or not, he will be there as soon as he hears your voice. He loves people, but he's not the brightest bulb in the box. And I was told this when I got him. I mean, I was warned. I was like, you know, he does things a little more slowly, but he seemed easy enough and he seemed compliant enough that I didn't realize how stressful it was for him to do things that were hard.
Mm-hmm.
So I've decided that for right now, Joe Bob and I are just going to spend time together and do some fun riding and go on camp out. He camps great, except for when he puts his leg over the rope. But then he just stands there and waits for you to save him. He doesn't.
Well, you know, sometimes horses need a little bit of time to make those adjustments.
Yeah.
And from his point of view, obviously going to a competition was a mighty leap. Whereas from your point of view, it was like no big deal. So taking that time now,
right,
before he has that meltdown, that's the thing that's going to preserve him. And hopefully, you know, another year from now, he'll be able to take that leap and be more confident.
We sort of had a meltdown. That was part of what prompted me to, I mean, he didn't do anything really awful, but like I had to get off of him and he's so tall. I had to find something to get on and he wouldn't stand next to anything for me. And then we had our judge mount and he wouldn't stand next to the mounting block. I had gotten on and off of him 4 or 5 times that morning. Fine. Perfectly. But when the judges were watching and the secretary was there and there were about 5 other people standing around, it was a nightmare.
Yeah,
and he gets so upset. He'll actually pee. He like
Poor
gets dressed like a wiener, dog or a cocker spaniel or something.
Poor
and he'll
guy.
Just like, he gets dressed. I know. And I was like, I gave him a little time off and I've been riding Vandy all along. I was going to save Vandy for next year because he has it all. He has hair. He has the most gorgeous hair. I mean, I know you can't ride hair, but he has like 3 thick layers of sun bleached chestnut mane.
That sounds like a really bad ad, Alice. He has the best hair.
He has the best hair. And he has, and he's gentle and he's smart and he's quiet. And when things don't sit quite right, he just stops and he studies things. And then you sit there. And that was actually a small problem in competition, because there were a few times we had to do a couple of things that were just a little beyond his experience level. And on my own, I would have just waited him out. But when you have 7 or 8 horses waiting to do the obstacle behind you, and there's no other way, it was like this real steep downhill thing, we just had to go.
Yeah.
But I got another horse to go in front of him, and he was fine.
See, I always made sure I was at the back of the line when we get to an obstacle. Make sure you go last.
Well, and I think that we actually were closer to the end than that. I mean, but it was just, he just saw this tricky spot and he was like, oh no. But as soon as Liberty, I loaned Liberty to a friend of mine, and he enjoyed her because she weighs less than I do, and they had a good time together. But she went in and he was like, I like Liberty, I'll just follow Liberty. But like, we had to trot over some logs on the trail for an obstacle, and it wasn't hard, but it wasn't anything I've ever asked him to do. And for a moment, he kind of looked down at that and he started to refuse, and I just put a little leg on him, and it wasn't pretty, but he didn't duck it. He didn't avoid it. He didn't freak out. He just did it. And I mean, that's just, he's very businesslike. He's not, he doesn't really he doesn't get cranky, but he doesn't have a great sense of humor. He's like my husband. He's just knows what he has a job to do, and he just goes out and does it.
There you
and
go. He's businesslike.
He's happy all the time. He's very businesslike.
There we go.
He just, you know, he's good natured.
There we go. Well, that's cool. So coming up, we always do a product review on the show, and we've got lots of guests coming up, so we can't run too long, but I want to do this quick review. You had talked about the Troxel barrel helmet, and I want to find out what appealed to you about that.
Well, it's the Fallon Taylor helmet. They are all these funky colors, and they're supposed to appeal to barrel riders. And I have, let's see, I was looking them all up, the pictures. The one I have is, it's just called, it's the Fallon, Troxel Fallon Taylor turquoise. I was looking to see if it had a, it's a turquoise. It looks like it has like a turquoise bandana on it. I don't know if the color has a name or not, but a lot of Liberty's tack is turquoise and brown. And so it was a total fashion thing, because I had like a blue Tipperary, which Tipperary has always been my helmet of choice. They fit my head the best, of all the helmets. And I will still say it probably fits my head the best, and it's got a lot of vents. But this Troxel is so good looking, and all of these Troxels in this Fallon Taylor line are so good looking that people who don't like to wear helmets will like them. They sit low on the head. They've got a nice bill. They adjust in the back. I mean, they're flexible. And so like, they have all these different cool colors. There's like a black and white checked one. There's an aqua with black and white checks. There's a Aztec pattern, there's pink and yellow. I mean, there's so many colors. And so if you just want to look cool, and there was one that had like a pink bandana on it that I almost bought for my granddaughter. But I ended up getting her something a little less expensive, because they are a little like more expensive.
Well, yeah, you're gonna pay for the Fallon Taylor name on there. And I think they when she got together with Troxel to design these, of course, we're all familiar with the fact that the Troxel helmets are certified helmets. They've been around for years. They were in on the whole certified helmet thing from the get-go. She did a really, really good job of not just making them colorful, because there's lots of colorful helmets out there. They did a really good job of creating colors and patterns that look good on the helmet. Because you can take a helmet and make it any color or pattern you want. That doesn't mean it looks good on a helmet. It's like some patterns of cloth look good on a curtain, and that same pattern of cloth is not going to look good in a dress.
Right.
You know, so they did a nice job with
it. Gold and purple.
Yeah.
It's got like these racing stripes on it. I mean, it was just, I saw it at the NAT convention in Chattanooga. Distance Depot had it in their booth. And I had just bought a helmet at Christmas. I had gone to, I had gone to Teske's. And again, I bought a Troxel, which I haven't owned a Troxel in years, but their Legacy helmet also fit my head comfortably. A lot of times I think my head's more oval and the Tipperary's are more oval, where the Troxels, it seems like they push on my forehead sometimes. Mm-hmm. So, but this worked out really well. And so I got it. And I don't know if the very heat of the summer I'm going to wear it, because it doesn't have quite as many vents as either my Legacy or my Tipperary. But it was just so cute. And nobody else, so far, nobody else I ride with has one. Well,
there
so,
you go.
You know, and I'm real into like, you know, my bright pipes that I used to get from Evelyn. And, you know, when I'm looking through the photos on the website, it's easy to spot yourself, especially now that I'm riding a solid chestnut horse. It's easy to spot yourself if you can look for the wild breeches and the wild helmet. Like, oh, there I am. So it was total fashion thing. But I really, really like it. It's comfortable. And
there you go.
I recommend them if you want to make a... Oh, you see, here's one I just saw. It's the Tropical Rebel. It's called Turquoise Rose.
So if you want to go out there and make a positive fashion statement with your helmet.
That's right.
Alice recommends checking out the Troxel Fallon Taylor collection. So there you go. So
I think check them out at either Distance Depot or Rider Warehouse. They are both sponsors of the NATRC.
There you go. Both good places to go. And I think it's about time for us to give our first guest, Leanne Dreadfulwater, a holler.
Good morning, Leanne. Welcome to our show.
Good morning, Alice. Great to hear from you.
It's so awesome to have you on today. Leanne, for a little background, has been riding NATRC rides since, what do we say, it was 2000? Is that right?
2000. Mm-hmm.
And started a couple years before I did. I told her earlier today that when I met her, I thought she was an old timer, and she said she is.
Well, when we've been doing this for, I think, 15 and 17 years, respectively, and in our sport, we can probably kind of make that claim, although we both know there are people that have been riding NATRAC since the 70s. So, you know, they probably are probably have a little ahead of the game on us for as far as NATRC goes.
That's probably true. Well, before we get to talking about the trails you're going to share with us today, I was curious. I've known you for 15 years, and I've always wondered about your last name, your Leanne Dreadfulwater. It's clearly a Native American name, at least it screams Native American to me. But I've always wondered about the history and the background of your name.
Well, I usually tell people that I blame my husband on that. But as far as the actual meaning of it, it is a Cherokee name. And the history on it that we've gotten is that it had to do with where the family had a place that they had settled. And in the Cherokee language, I think they were known as the family that lived near the Bad Water, or I've heard it listed as Amascosity, and Ama is our word for water. Scosity is kind of a slurred little bit of a slang word for bad. So that's one kind of a foundation of that name that I've heard. I haven't really had that independently verified, but there, if you come to our area, there's quite a few dreadful waters here. And then we get confused with dry waters, deer and waters, standing waters, and a few other kind of similar sounding names that are all Cherokee families.
Wow. I can imagine that would be, you know, one of those water people.
Yeah.
That sounds like a line from a bad science fiction movie, Alice.
It could be, yeah.
Kind of like, you know, that girl that rides the paint horse.
Now I'm curious. This is a complete outsider question. I'm a Yankee. I know nothing about Native American culture except what I see on Antiques Roadshow. Many immigrants to the United States changed their names when they got here. That was very commonplace for whatever reason they used. It doesn't seem that Native American peoples made those kinds of changes. They didn't change their name to make them appear more modern American versus Native American. Is that the case, or is that just my perception as being a Yankee outsider?
Well, it's they've actually changed names quite a few times, and for various reasons. There are times when in my own family we had a you know, family that part branch of the family that was, as we understand it, they were snail, like the little shelled animal. And the somehow or another, probably with people's accents and bad handwriting and lack of education, it got sort of parlayed around into snail. So that branch of the family went from snail to snell.
Oh, interesting.
These days, there are also, you know, lots of times when maybe a census taker, I know in my husband's family, they had a name that he couldn't pronounce or spell, and they were furniture makers, and so they had a batch of chairs on a wagon as they were traveling through, and he named them the chair family, and it stuck.
Oh my goodness.
So there have been things like that have happened.
It is a very similar story to, because I love to watch the different shows about genealogy, and that does happen mm-hmm. to many, many different ethnicities that come to the United States. Now, can you imagine what would have happened if the census takers were Native Americans and it went the other way around?
Oh gosh.
Wouldn't that be awesome? We'd all have really cool names now.
That could have been a lot of fun. Oh yeah. Well, you know, and intermarriage, there are a lot of Anglo names. My maiden name is Thompson. That's actually from my Cherokee side of the family. But because there were some people who moved here from overseas back in the 1700s, and there were three brothers, and they intermarried with three Cherokee sisters, and so, you know, the name came up that way, even though there are plenty of Thompsons throughout the U.S. who are non-native, but,
right.
you know, you'll see that happen a lot, so
cool.
Just where there's been intermarriage for so many years.
Well, anyway, I want to know a little bit about the trails that you've been working on. You told me last month that there is a place that's starting to either build trails or, anyway, just give me the lowdown, the wins and the where.
Okay, well, I think you're probably talking about our tribal park that is down near Salisaw, Oklahoma, and it's Cherokee Nation Park. It is roughly, depending on who you talk to, it's 800 or 1,100 acres. I've heard both. This is it's an absolutely beautiful piece of property that's right off of I-40. So for people who are traveling through the state and they're looking for a place to pull in and ride for a little bit or overnight with their horses, it's actually a really good option. And basically the background on this land is it used to be a very nice, full amenity state park back years ago, and with state budgets being what they are, especially here in Oklahoma, eventually it kind of fell into disrepair, and ultimately the state asked Cherokee Nation if we would care to have this piece of property, and, you know, would we maintain it and do something with it, and so we took transfer of ownership from it back in the 90s, and then it kind of languished for a little bit while we went through, developing some other things here at the tribe. And a few years ago, folks started looking into, you know, what can we do to develop this piece of property? And so some grants were written, some workers got going on it, a caretaker was hired that lives on site, and so the upshot of it is that it's a work in progress, but it's a great place to, you know, to stop for a ride and camp. We've, with the help of tribal funding and grant funding, we've been able to put in a 30-stall horse barn out there and some RV-style pads that, you know, you can park your rig on. We're waiting on the next wave of grants to go through, which we hope we'll hear from soon. We hope we were successful in getting those. And if that's the case, we're going to be able to put in water and electric sites. We're going to be able to put in a full bathhouse with showers.
Oh, wow.
And toilets. And it'll be sort of similar to what we have at some of the nicer state parks now. And right now, it's got probably 14 miles of very diverse trails that travel around this beautiful reservoir here. And they're pretty barefoot friendly for Oklahoma, which you've ridden up here, Alice, so you know that's not always the case. But, you know, these are really pretty. They're very well maintained. They're easy to find your way through. And, you know, we love riding them. So it's something. There's also a little pavilion out there if you want to have meetings or family gathering or, you know, that sort of thing. And I think they have some porta potties out there now for those kind of needs for the moment. But they also intend on putting in a little arena back behind the barn. That'll be a place where, you know, we can do some clinics and things and maybe other types of events. So we have really big hopes for this, but it is open to the public right now, and it's open almost year round without exception. There might be, I think last year we closed for maybe a week for just a brief little hunting season in November, and that was about it.
Wow. So is there a fee attached, or how do people like find it so that they can, you know, take care of, I mean, are there, well, okay, cut. That was like, should just stop there.
It's okay. Well, cut there.
Are there fees attached? There you go. That was the question I wanted to ask.
Well, there are no fees attached, and for right now, there's no charge to come in and ride or to camp. You know, you can stop at the house that's at the front of the park, and the caretaker, who is Mike Collins, lives there. And, you know, he'll be glad to watch out for you. And he usually closes the gate at night so that people don't come in on you while you're there camping. So it's a, you know, pretty safe thing. It is all primitive camping right now. And you'd have to bring in your own horse water and, you know, any hay or feed or anything like that, of course. And, you know, you're welcome to bring a generator if you've got that type of a rig and you want to have lights and power and all that, then, you know, bring your generator.
Okay. So is there any natural water like out on the trail? I mean, is that something people have to worry about if they go ride all 14 miles, or is it?
There are some places where you can get down to the lake to water a little bit. And then there's also a pretty good sized pond that's out in the north part. If you ride through there, you know, some people would call it a lake. I'm just going to say it's a really big pond, and you can get down there to water as well.
I've heard that Oklahoma has more trails per capita, you know, like per trail rider and per horse than a lot of other states. Do you know if that's true?
Oh, I don't know. I have not heard that, but, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. You know, we have a great resource called OklahomaHorseOnline.com that has, it's run by a friend of mine, Terry Folks, and Terry has tried really, really hard to capture in, you know, some format all of the different trails and options and things that people coming through Oklahoma, all of their opportunities to ride, and she's constantly updating her website with that. So, in fact, she'd be a great guest for you sometime. I'll just put that out there. But
that would be awesome.
Yeah, but that is that's a good resource for people, you know, wanting to know. One of the things that probably helps contribute to that is we have a lot of wildlife management areas here in Oklahoma, and you can ride at most of them. Most of them will require that you have either an Oklahoma hunting or fishing license, or that you have something called a state conservation pass. If you're from out of state, that's the one that I would recommend, because you're not going to have to pay an out-of-state hunting license fee. But they run about $26, and you just carry them with you anytime that you're on Oklahoma Conservation Pass areas. We have one of those here in the county that I live in, and we ride there a lot. Those are great opportunities to get out and do some primitive riding and you know, kind of see some very diverse things, like some of the wildlife. Some of those areas have black bear and elk in them that you might run across. Lots of turkeys, lots of armadillos, and lots of deer.
Well, I was going to say, I knew about the pass, but I didn't know about all the different places you could ride. So that's something that probably, if you're not in Oklahoma, would be hard to know about.
Yeah, and it's a new law that Oklahoma passed maybe about 5 years ago, and they didn't start enforcing it until a couple of years ago. But now at most of those properties, the ranger will come up and if he sees you out riding, he or she will stop you and ask you if you have your pass or you have your license with you. I know there are people who have kind of objected to that, but, you know, we probably pay more than that for one night of RV style, you know, water and electric camping at some of the places. Sure. So for to be able to go out and ride all these great areas all over the state for about the same price, about $26, you know, for a full year, to me is not bad. You know, plus there are a lot of places that have like an honor box and ask that you make a donation. So I don't see it as too much different from that. It helps pay the salaries of those rangers that keep us safe, helps pay for road maintenance and, you know, anything else that they do out there to maintain those properties.
Well, before I let you go, tell me a little bit about some of the upcoming NATRC rides this year in Oklahoma.
Well, we have a great one that is coming up. It's a first-time ride that is going to be at Bell Cow Lake, which is over by Chandler, Oklahoma. In fact, Bell Cow Lake is a really well-established trail system, and it is actually a city park for the city of Chandler. And so we have some NATRAC volunteers that happen to live there close to it, the Brodersons, Phil and Shirley Broderson, who have kindly taken this on, and I think they've always wanted to do a ride there, and so they had the opportunity to do that, and that's coming up, I believe, on June the 10th and 11th, if I'm not mistaken. But that's going to be a nice, fairly easy ride for those who are not, you know, maybe have not done this before or not sure about it, and they have a one-day option or a two-day option you can ride. And it's going to be a good time. I think it'll be a beautiful time to be out there. They're pretty easy trails for folks. And you may have mentioned this on previous shows, but it's always a good time to put in a plug that if you are a first-time person for NATRC, your membership is free. And so we still have that promotion going on through the end of 2017 that, you know, first-time joiners can become a free member. And that's about a $60 value. And it also helps if you ever take on and decide to enter any of our NATRC rides, you'll end up actually saving about $10 right off the bat off of your entry fee. The name of the park is National Cherokee Nation Park, and it is, again, it's located right off of I-40. It's going to be the Dwight Mission exit, which I think is exit 303, and if you'll take that between Salisaw and Vian, Oklahoma, and head south for about 4 or 5 miles, you'll run right into it. The road will dead end into it. If you want to go online and learn more about it, we have it on our website at www.cherokee.org, and it's under our natural resources menu.
Well, you can have Leanne back on anytime. She is a fascinating lady. All kinds of great stories there.
Well, I know she didn't even tell us about all the horses she's ridden. She rides a Pastofino now, which, you know, is kind of my potato chip craze. I love Pastofinos. They're all so fun. Yeah. And she's had Arabs, and she's had a lot of experience.
Yeah, that's cool. And don't forget, we're going to put a link to the trail she mentioned in our show notes page. So if you forget how to spell it or what it was called, just hop on over to Horses in the Morning and look up the episode for May 18th, 2017, and we'll have a link to it right there. And now we're going to take a little break for some Muzak, as we do. And thank you very much, because this is going to be from Templeton Thompson. We'll be right back.
All cooped up, feeling all caged in. Need to get a little air so I can breathe again. Got a thirst in my heart, hunger in my eyes. Need to satisfy my soul, free my wild side. My wheels have been spinning like crazy in my head. Gotta get back to living, before I forget. My sights are set where that green grass is a good running start to get me over that fence. Yeah, 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 yeah. 'Cause I need somewhere to run, somewhere to ride. Fresh pair of wings and a long stretch of sky. I've saddled these dreams, I'm holding on tight. Need a good, strong, tall wind and a horse that can fly. Yeah. Got a load on my back and a lot on my mind. Yeah, the weight of this world really gets me sometimes. There's a freedom inside me I've been missing so much. Gonna kick the gates wide open and leave a big old cloud of dust. Yeah, 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 yeah. 'Cause I need somewhere to run, somewhere to ride. A fresh pair of wings and a long stretch of sky. I've saddled these dreams, I'm holding them tight. Need a good, strong, tall wind and a horse that can fly. Yeah. Giddy up, look at what lies on the horizon. Second star to the left, then straight on till morning. Cause I need somewhere to run, somewhere to ride. A fresh pair of wings and a long stretch of sky. I've saddled these dreams, holding on tight. Need a good, strong, tall wind and a horse that can fly. Yeah, I need a horse that can fly. Feeling all cooped up, feeling all caged in.
Thank you. That was a song by Templeton Thompson, and you can find more out about her music at templetonthompson.com. You are here on Horses in the Morning, brought to you this week by the NATRC, and our next guest is Tom Crist. Good morning, Tom. It's great to have you back on the show.
Thank you, and always enjoy it.
Today, I wanted to pick your brain a little bit about ways that we can train our horse, or ways that we accidentally train our horse. Ways that we train our horse when we just have a few minutes to spend.
Okay.
Our friend Annette told me that you have all kinds of little exercises that you can do whenever you just have a few minutes.
When you start thinking about things and maybe taking some notes and writing things down, it's amazing how long that list can get. I put 30 days or 60 days or 90 or 120, whatever time I put on training a horse. And I put the basics on a horse, and then how the horse is going to turn out for a lifetime and permanent is up to the rider, the owner of the horse, to continue that and season the horse and adjust the horse to their style of riding and doing things. The biggest problem that we have is that when they come to pick their horse up, their best intentions are to ride the horse every weekend, maybe a day through the week, and that usually falls through the cracks. The weather gets bad on the weekends, or a trip comes up, or somebody doesn't feel right or something. So anyway, the horse doesn't get the time on them that they need. And then on weekdays, they're tired. They say, and so the biggest thing is people say, well, I don't have much time, so there's no use of going. I don't have time to ride, so just there's no use of going out there. Okay, they don't realize how much they go through in just getting on and off a horse. You go out to the pasture and you catch your horse. Sometimes that's a problem. Sometimes it's not. You put the halter on. You lead the horse back to wherever you're going, the barn or wherever you do your saddling, whatever. Reminding a horse of their manners when you lead. You should have a horse that will walk when you walk, stop when you stop, and take a step back when you take a step back. And sometimes that takes a little work to get them there. But this is a good time for a reminder when you don't have much time. You tie the horse up. When you tie the horse up there, continue to learn that the lead rope and the halter have control over them, and they learn to accept and stand quietly. You pick up the feet, which your farrier will always appreciate. You have the horse to stand still while you put the pad and the saddle on. And we're talking to particularly young horses. You put the bit in their mouth. You put the bridle on them. You put fly spray on them, which can be sometimes a really problem. And my recommendation for that is get a fly spray bottle or just a spray bottle. Put some water in it and start with the feet and gradually work up just to get the horse used to spray. We spray our horses when we ride, and sometimes that's once a week or once a month, and we wonder why the horse never learns to accept fly spray. Then you ask your horse to stand still, to mount while you get on the horse, to move out on cue. In just a few minutes, you can do a couple of left turns, a couple of right turns. You can do a couple of stops, and you can do a couple of backs. And then you have the horse stand still to dismount. So in 15 or 20 minutes, you've just gone through about 15 steps that you're actually teaching and training and continuing to reinforce in your horse's mind all these things that they have learned, and some of these things that they can forget if they're not reminded.
That's true. My horse has forgotten how to be caught on many occasions.
Well, sometimes people want to take a bucket. Sometimes people just want the horse to come to them. Sometimes people will take a cookie or a treat to their horse, a carrot or whatever.
Specific? Are there any specific things that people could, should, or shouldn't do when they have that, okay, I have 17 and a half minutes to do something with my horse today?
That can be the that can be the best, most important time that you spend with your horse. For the simple reason that people don't spend that time, and that's the time that you can reinforce so many things. If you have that time when you actually mount your horse and you've got that much time in the saddle, then I like to use barrels. I like to set up barrels. What I use is what's called a wagon wheel or a bending pattern with one barrel in the center and four or five barrels to the outside 15 to 20 feet away. And you circle the inside barrel one way and the outside barrel the opposite way, and you just do figure eights rotating all the way around that circle. In doing that, you teach your horse to move on cue. You teach the horse to slow down on cue. You teach your horse right turn, left turn. You make wide turns or you make tight turns. You can also use that when your horse comes close to the barrel to use your foot on the side of the horse to teach him to move in and out, move away from the barrels. You can use that on the trail to move the horse away from a tree so you don't get your knee on the tree. Horses get in a hurry. This can be one of the most calming exercises I have ever done with a horse, is to put them in this barrel pattern, and you're just doing the same thing, but you're still moving, and you're going somewhere. The horse has a job to do. And within a few minutes, most horses will begin to relax in doing this. If you've got a nervous, kind of a high-strung horse, it can really have a really nice, calm, and relaxing effect on the horse. Another thing you can do with your horse is just teach them to stand still. We ride, we take a break, and if there's a group, you're going to usually see at least somebody there with a horse that won't stand still. They cannot get that horse to stand still no matter what. The horse won't rest, and the people can't visit because the horse is acting up. The only thing you need to do is give the horse a job to do. Let him walk in circles. just a little 5 or 6 foot wide circle and just let him move. If he can move his feet, most of the time they're going to be content. Let them walk a few circles and then try to stop them again. If they continue fidgeting, make a few circles and try to stop them. After you do that a few times, the horse will finally realize, okay, we're moving, but we're not going anywhere, so I might as well just stand here. I don't know what's in their mind, but that's the way it seems to me. The biggest thing, too, is we try to solve problems when we're out on the trail. And these short times that you're talking about can be so valuable to us because our horses and we need work days. We have a horse that won't slow down, or it won't stop, or it won't back up, or just whatever problem the horse may have. And which we get on a trail ride with a group of people, and we try to solve those problems. Well, you've got the distraction of other horses. You've got the movement of the trail ride. You've got whatever's going on around you. So you can't teach your horse what is. Some things you can, but there's things that you just can't teach and problems you can't correct in that kind of a situation. So what we need to do is just shut down, stop, and have a work day with our horse. And that's not always easy for people to do because you feel like, well, the only time I've got time is when I'm going on a trail ride. But that's the thing, that's the importance about these short times. If you've got 10 or 15 minutes to spend with your horse, there's this whole list of things that you can do, and particularly if you have a specific problem with a horse. One of the most dangerous problems I see that people have with a horse that they have problem correcting is for a horse to simply stand still while you get on. I've seen broken bones from horses that wouldn't stand still. They take a step, and if somebody's stopping and making them stand still, they go ahead and try to get on, and then they've got 1 foot in the stirrup, and the horse is taken off.
Oh, that's bad news.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and I see it all the time. And this is something that it's hard to do with a group when everybody's saddling and everybody's getting ready to go ride out. You know, the horses are anxious. The people are anxious. You just can't teach your horse anything at that time. But if you're out there by yourself or maybe with one other person, then you get that person to stand still beside you. They may even put their horse crossways in front of you, not so close to cause a problem, but just to kind of encourage your horse that they don't have to take off and go somewhere. But there's just a whole ton of things that you can do in just a few minutes, either from the saddle or from the ground.
Well, I know that we have a horse at my house that's a Pasofino, and he's very smart and he's very emotional, and he's got some bad habits that we've been slowly working on. But he's a funny little horse in that he will stand completely still. My husband wears braces on his leg, so he needs a little extra care getting set up in the saddle. This little horse will stand completely still for him to get on the horse and for him to get his feet in the saddle and get settled. And then he starts misbehaving. So it tells me that it's just all, I mean, he waits for Mike to get set. And then he does whatever it is he's going to do.
Well, you've got a horse that is typically bred to have what I call some fire in the belly. And that's not necessarily a bad thing because those horses for the show ring that they use as horses in a show ring, that's what they do. They're highly energetic horses, and it takes some training. Evidently, somebody did some fantastic training with that horse to get it to stand like that for him to mount. But then, evidently, the horse thinks when it's time to go, it's time to go. This is one of the things that can be so valuable when you've got just a little bit of time. When the horse does start to move out, make the circles. Right up to the place where you saddle the horse, to where there's no place to go. Have another rider sit beside you. Spend some and prepare your mind. Sometimes I have to just adjust my attitude before I get on a horse that I know is going to misbehave or do something wrong, to not let it get to me, to not let me become impatient, angry, or whatever the case may be. And so when you got a horse like that, if you take a work day with that horse, go through all the steps of getting mounted and be prepared and know that this horse is going to start acting up or moving, you know, before cued or whatever. And be prepared for that and make your small circles. The barrel pattern is fantastic for that. if you do the mounting close to the pattern, you can immediately get in these barrels and just start turning barrels. So the horse that's excited and over-energetic after a little while figures out, okay, he's letting me go as fast as I want to go from this barrel to that barrel, but that's only 2 seconds or 3 seconds, then I've got to stop and make a turn. And after a while, they begin to settle down. And so that's another thing that can be done with just a few minutes, but so important on a set-aside specific work day with your horse.
Yeah, we do that with this little guy. He's come a long way, but he still just has, you know, he's just, like you said, the brio is just too much for him sometimes.
There you go. I forgot about that word.
Well, thank you for your advice. I think I know that I am really bad about taking those days to do a work day, but I've been better. Now I don't go to work. I work at a massage place, and I don't usually go to work till about 10. So I'll get outside about 7:30, and just pick a different horse every day and spend half an hour. And it's made a huge difference. Just grabbing one, feeding it, brushing it, picking through its tail, and then doing 15 or 20 minutes of whatever. And
you're getting some relaxation time with the horse. And two things I want to mention that I feel like are very important. And one is that when you're trying to teach your horse something or train your horse to do something, to be very strict with yourself. Important example of getting a horse to stand still when you mount. That's so important. But people give up. They put a foot in the stirrup, the horse moves, and they go ahead and get on real quick. They just don't want to or don't have the time to go through what it takes to teach that horse. You have to be strict with yourself to not give in. The other thing I want to mention is relaxation time. These horses get used to us being always in a frame of mind of being training, 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 training. And I have to remember to do this myself with 2-year-olds that have never been ridden before that I haven't for training. And I'm teaching and learning every day. Well, what I need to do is, and what works for a lot of people and a lot of horses, is today I'm not going to teach this horse anything. I'm not going to train this horse anything. Now, I want them to behave themselves, but I want to get on the horse and just relax. Let the horse just walk around as much as safely and, you know, reasonable. Let the horse kind of do its thing, walk around the barnyard close to home in the pasture. Just relax and give the horse a day off from work, 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 train, train, train. And that can really go a long way in keeping your horse calm and keeping a horse to the point that at a level where they won't protest against you.
I think
so
that
sometimes we can overtrain.
Yeah, I think you've hit on a really, really important topic that so many of us have ignored, especially those of us who compete in any discipline, is we're constantly working on bettering the performance and training the horse. And sometimes it's important, like you said, to get on and let the horse and ask the horse to do things he knows how to do really, really well and very comfortably. Don't challenge his training capabilities and his physical capabilities. If you have a horse that has done the water obstacles and he's really, really good at it and he's really good at walking around the pasture, well, sometimes all you're going to do is get on there, ride around the pasture, and go through the water obstacle a couple of times. Things that he is really, really good at. And I think we sometimes forget that a horse sometimes needs his confidence and self-worth to be reaffirmed.
Yes.
Oh, look at this. I can do something really, really well. 100% success today. Give him a star on his calendar once in a while. And I think
exactly.
That goes a long way.
They're not being corrected or disciplined
the
time.
I've got it. I'm perfect. Yay me. Okay, we're done today. Let's turn you back out. Let's go out for lunch.
Right.
See, and
I'll briefly pick on barrel racers for a minute. So many times I've seen for years and years and years and years somebody doesn't have much time, so they're going to go out here and they're going to do the barrel pattern four or five times. They get on the horse, they go straight, they do the barrel pattern. And every day, every time you get on a horse, they're running barrels, running barrels. Martha Joseph is a 9-time world champion barrel racer. My daughter went to one of her clinics when she was about 10 or 11 years old. One of the most important lessons that Martha Joseph taught those people in barrel racing was trail ride your horse. Relax your horse. Get on your horse and have a fun day. Have a relaxing day. Don't be constantly, and I've seen so many horses ruined, but not just for barrel racing, but I've seen so many horses ruined from just a constant regimen of work, 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 without just being able to just relax.
Yes, that makes perfect.
Excellent.
Well, and I know that one of the horses I've been working with, I've started a new horse this year just to give my horse Liberty a break. But he does everything. He's one of those, he does everything really well, but he's kind of bored with being handled at the competitions. So this year I've just been taking him out to ride him, and it's fun because I can maneuver him around the gate, or I can drive a cow. Of course, if they run back at us, they, you know, kind of panic, but you know, it's like putting on my favorite pair of jeans every time I get on it, because I could put a leg here, he'll do this, but he's just kind of gotten over competing for right now, I think. And so I started this newer horse named Joe Bob. He's Tennessee Walker. And so far, Joe Bob has not excelled at competition. He excels at trail riding, but competition just boggles his mind. And I have to, you know, like taking a step back and saying, here, let's just go ride for fun. Let's just go, yeah. You know, let's just go gate down the road.
So. Well, in competition things too, it's good to single out an event, have a work day at home, and work on that event. Because when you go to competition, that's another, you know, it's like I'm saying with Sarah, you can't teach your horse when you're on a competition. And I know you're working with your horse at home, but that's one of the things that once somebody has a horse riding and going and performing and doing good, they think, well, I'm going to go ahead and start doing this with it, when they need to learn what it is you're going to be asking them to do. And sometimes
right. Just
one event or one thing at a time. I have to learn things in baby steps. And I'm talking about me personally. I have to learn things a little bit at a time. You should all be getting used to using my cell phone and a computer. Little bitty things, tiny little things. And repetition of little things, and I can learn it. And after a while, I've got the whole game down. But I've got to learn it a little at a time. And I think our horses are that way too. We try to teach them, okay, we're going to do these five things today. Well, why don't we just do this one thing today and do another one tomorrow?
There we go. I think that's sage advice for any horseman.
Thank you.
And thanks so much for stopping by and being on the show with us today, Tom. Do you have an online presence where somebody can find you and see what you're up to? No website,
well,
no Facebook, no nothing?
You know what? We have a website. It's called, it's not a website. It's a Facebook page. It's Tuwakini Saddle. I don't know. What is it? Tuwakini Stables on Facebook.
There we go.
And don't have much on there. I think I'm on TAWAKONI.
There we go. Well, what we will do is we'll make it easy for everybody.
Thing.
We will make sure we put a link to that in the show notes on today's episode. So if you forget how to spell it, you can find it on our show notes page and see what Tom's up to. Or if you have a question that you want to ask him about training, saddles, or whatever, Tom is a wealth of information. And thanks again for stopping by.
I still want to come for a lesson.
There we go. It's always so much fun to chat with Tom. He, again, another wealth of information right there. I think some of those things that he pointed out are going to end up on Horse Tip Daily. And this is the time of day we always do the NATRC ride calendar. I'm sure it's getting pretty full this time of year. So what's going on there?
It is getting really full. I know that some of the regions are winding down for the summer, but then others are just revving up. Like in Region 3, Colorado, they're just getting started. And we have one more ride in Oklahoma, which Leanne talked about earlier, for the summer, and then we take a break until September or October. But the whole ride calendar can be found at www.natrc.org under rides. And there's a whole calendar that will pop up, and you can click on the state you're in and find the rides that are in your area.
Dun, dun, dun. Pretty cool. And don't forget, they still have the free membership program going, right?
That's right.
There you
free
go.
Membership goes through the end of 2017 if you are a first-time member.
There you go. It's worth checking out. And to find links to today's show, which we mentioned earlier today, there's lots of cool links there. Just go to horsesinthemorning.com. And you can follow along the conversations here at Horses in the Morning by joining our Facebook page, which is Horses in the Morning. Fancy that. Or if you are one of those people who likes to live your life 150 characters at a time, we have a Twitter account. Just our handle is Horse Radio. And you can have all of the shows with you wherever you go by downloading our free Horse Radio Network app for your iPhone or your Android. Just go to your app store and search Horse Radio Network. It's free. You can also subscribe via iTunes or your favorite podcast player. Thanks again to the NATRC for bringing us today's show. And thank you, Alice, for being my co-host.
Well, thank you for being my co-host.
You're welcome. And we'll see you again next month on the third Thursday.